I'm Erin.
And today we are going over season 7, episode 18.
Brand X.
Brand X, yes, thank you. X-Files featuring Jigsaw.
It's, yeah.
Yeah.
He looks so old and...
somehow so young.
He was like 40 in this. He looks 75.
Yeah.
Crazy.
It's disgusting. This episode was gross.
I really liked it though.
Yeah.
Like it was probably one of the most well-made X-Files episodes.
I agree completely.
Really good. But yeah, really gross. I don't know.
Prosthetics were amazing.
Someone really stepped up the budget or something like that because makeup, prosthetics, fucking special effects, like on point. So yeah. Good.
Yeah.
Which made it more gross because usually X-Files is like, okay, this would be scary, but it's kind of gimmicky because right. They didn't have the budget to do it. And it's like, you know, we love that. That's why it's fun. But like, also,
yeah, there's like a very wide range of episodes like last week.
Yep.
Or I don't know, like the vampire pizza one.
Sure.
Versus this.
Yeah. But overall, really liked this. And just a good episode. I do remember it. I feel like I thought that I misremembered a lot of things from this episode, but honestly, it holds up. It's a good episode.
Yeah.
So,
it got a 7.5 out of 10 on IMDb.
Okay.
Which I think for X-Files is pretty high.
Yeah. That's pretty good.
But we're also almost at the end of this season.
Yeah. And, like, not too far off from this series. Like,
yeah.
We are going quick. I mean, we're not. We've been doing this for, like, 3 fucking years. Yeah. But, like... It's
been flying by.
It's coming up quick, you know? Before you know it, it'll be done.
Well, don't say that. I'll get sad.
And then we'll have to start a new podcast with, I don't know.
No, Lone Gunman.
Twin Peaks.
Don't tease me like
that. And Lone Gunman.
Don't tease me.
And Millennium.
Don't. No. Fucking Tad keeps telling me that we have to watch Millennium. I'm like, no. Mm-hmm. The more that
like maybe if I run out of every other show that I need to watch.
Yeah.
But I don't think that's gonna happen. I mean, we'll see.
I have this very awful trait, and I'm sure you've realized it. But the more that people tell me to go watch something, the less I wanna fucking watch it.
Oh no, I'm the same. I am the same, and like I never watch movies, so when people are like, oh my god, you need to watch this movie, I'm just like, I'm not gonna do that.
Yeah.
And then like 3 years later, I'll watch it and I'll be like, oh my god, did you guys see this movie? It's so good. And they're like, that came out in 2011. So yes, we've all seen it.
Like it gets to a point where it's just funny.
Yeah. Like, I still have not seen fucking Everything Everywhere.
Oh, I think I started it and I fell asleep. I've never seen a single Matrix movie. I've never seen a single John Wick movie.
Nope.
I just like don't care.
Yeah, no, some guy, I was talking to this guy last weekend, I went out to in Newport, and this guy was like trying to ask me if I've ever seen Django, Django, you know what I mean?
Django Unchained,
Yeah. And I don't know, I was kind of high, so maybe that was me, but I thought he was saying Jenga. I was like, I didn't know they made that into a new movie, that's crazy. And he's like, well, it's not new, and I'm like, yeah, I don't recall that one. He was like,
have you seen Django though?
No.
Okay.
No. But then he was like, I'm saying Django, but like with a D. And I was like, oh, yeah. No, I do remember everyone talking about that. No, I've never seen it.
Like it was entertaining, but I don't think it was like immaculate, but. I don't know. I think Quentin Tarantino like toes a line sometimes.
Yeah.
And like that's not even up in my top two. I mean, there's only two that I really like.
Yeah.
And that's Inglourious Basterds and Once Upon What Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Yeah. Love that show.
That one was good. Yeah. I really like, there's a lot of horror movies that I am very excited to see.
Yeah. Can't wait for the new Exorcist.
I cannot wait for the new Exorcist. Did you see that they're doing another Scream?
Yeah.
Crazy. I'm going to watch it just because I have to. Yeah. Obviously, but I'm kind of like, feel like where they left it was good enough. Like,
yeah.
I loved the last one. I was so happy with it. But it's like, at some point, like, just let it go. It's okay.
Yeah.
Oh my God. What is it called?
I want to see that A24 one with the embalmed hand.
Yeah. What is that called? I think that's what
talk
I'm trying
to me.
Yes, yes. Or don't talk or talk to
something
me.
Something like that.
I
want to see it so badly.
My friend who's like really into, you know, movies and stuff, he said that that's like one of the best horror movies he's seen in a long time. And I love A24. Like everything that they do, I'm just like, holy shit, this is so good.
We're an A24 snob podcast and we are not apologetic about it.
The only people that can work through the writer's strike. Bye.
Yeah. Yeah. Isn't that crazy? I mean, I'm not surprised. Like, that's a great thing to stand on. Yeah. But I don't know. I get so mad when people like shit talk A24. They're like, they're just really pretentious. And I'm like, they're the only studio that has consistently come out with original fucking ideas.
Original and well-made, and like, honestly, their movies are what horror should be as a genre. Like,
yeah,
it's not fucking like just gore for the sake of gore. It's like a well thought out plot. Like, how many times have you watched the same horror movie over and over again from different companies? Because no one fucking takes the time. Like, every home invasion movie, it's the same. Every fucking, I hate them. But
they make me so anxious.
Yeah.
But I, like, the first time I saw The Strangers, I was like, I'm intrigued. This scares the shit
Strangers
out of me.
The Strangers is so good. Oh, yeah. My God.
That, and then Hush is, like, my favorite recent movie.
You're right.
Okay. Like, those get it downright. Everything else, I'm like, I'll watch this. But, yeah, it's typically the same thing.
Yeah. But they just do it so, like, they're just so good.
Yeah. I'm also really excited for the Mike Flanagan, Edgar Allan Poe show. He's doing House of Usher.
Ooh.
Yeah. I think it comes out soon. But that...
Sorry if you can hear me crunching into the mic. I'm eating pumpkin Jojo's or...
Jozo's.
What?
Jozo's.
Jozo's.
Yeah, they do have the pumpkin Jojo's.
Yeah.
Those are fucking good.
I got... the pumpkin spice, like, animal cracker, you know, like the covered ones. I thought they were trash.
Oh,
like,
I don't think I can have them.
Yeah, I don't think they're vegan.
No, boo.
Oh my God, wait. I have to tell you something. When we were in New York, we went to this Thai restaurant, and like, the signs were so confusing. I wish I took a picture, but like, online, everything like, online says like vegetarian friendly, like whatever, vegan friendly. We get there and there is a huge sign on the door that says no vegans, and then it has like a pic, like the word vegan, and then like a big circle with like a cross around. No vegans, vegans not allowed. I was like, wait, what in the fuck is happening?
Was it the like restaurant run by cults?
No.
Okay, did you see that one?
Yeah, I've eaten there, and before I knew that it was like the Yellow Deli.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was so excited when I was like, you guys! And then we got Amish donuts. I'm like, oh my God, so many cults today. I love it. I'm so excited. Those were the best donuts I've ever had in my fucking life.
That's also amazing.
The line was so long, and we were at like this Apple Fall Fest in Ithaca, and yeah, Dylan was like, I'm not waiting for apple cider donuts for that long. And then, like, I just saw all the Amish people making them, literally mixing the dough right there. And I was like, I'm waiting for as long as it takes. And actually, I don't think it'll take that long because these people are the most efficient people in the entire world. Boom. I'm doing it. The line was so long, I waited for maybe 10 minutes. And they handed me, like, piping hot, like I had to wait to eat them donuts that almost were like, almost seemed like they weren't, like they were so doughy and fresh that they like almost seemed like they weren't cooked, but they were, and they were so good. But yeah, this Thai place had like signs everywhere saying like, no vegans. And they were like, we will accept the vegetarians, but everything will still have eggs and fish sauce. And which I'm like, fish sauce is like, I don't care because I'm fine with that. But like, I'm like, so really like no vegetarians either, you know? I'm like, okay.
I wonder if for some reason they can't like update their website. Like maybe they got locked out.
Well,
of the
then like then there are signs that say no vegans here. We don't serve vegans here. If you want the vegan food, we made a separate restaurant just for people like you. You can go there. Go around the corner. That is just for you people. I was like, oh my God, this is the most. And I literally like, there was a sign in the dining room that straight up said, like, I don't know, like, it was not hidden. It wasn't like, oh, you know, behind the check-in desk or something. Nope, just on the wall. And it goes, servers, remember, do not spoil the guests. Do not let them make any substitutions. They do not need to be spoiled. You need to give them, encourage them to eat authentic and not alter my family's recipes, which I do understand. Like, I was like, but it was just so funny to see that, like, literally being like, do not, like, basically everything was like, whenever a restaurant is like, the guest is always right, this restaurant was like, the guest is wrong, and I'm going to show you why. And it was some of the best fucking drunken noodles I've ever had in my entire life, so I'm down with it. Yeah. There was plenty of things that I'm like, this is definitely already, like, they had papaya salad. Well, that might have fish sauce in it.
I'm like, it's silly because, like, Thai curry shouldn't have.
Yeah.
I don't even think it has fish sauce in it.
Yeah. I was going to say, like, there definitely was, like, a lot of things that, honestly, were probably naturally vegan, but.
Were they, like, not even having tofu?
Like, they no, they like they had so weird. They had so many vegetarian options, and I think the thing was that like they were definitely like they were outside of Ithaca. They were in a smaller town outside of Ithaca, and I'm sure it's like mostly tourism, and I'm sure that they get fucking white people all the time being like, I actually don't like, can you make this, can you like take all the spice out, and can you just like make it like not like that?
Yeah.
And yeah, that's annoying. Like if you're serving authentic Thai food, you are going to be like, no, like you're not changing my recipe. It was just funny.
I get it to a certain extent.
Yeah.
But I think when it comes to like dietary restrictions, you have don't to... just you're going to make more money if you can appeal to more people.
Right. Which I will say, like, I think that's like they were like, we opened another restaurant for the people like you.
Yeah.
No fish sauce there. But go there.
It's like.
But also like, yeah.
I totally understand wanting to like introduce authentic cuisine. Just don't let them like remove foods just because like they don't like.
Yeah.
It
should.
I don't know how you're going to monitor that.
Yeah.
But.
I mean, people are fucking annoying. Yeah. Even like. Just anywhere in the food service industry. Yeah. But just thought that was so funny. I like walk up, I'm like, and there's just this big sign that says no vegans. Vegans not allowed. I was like, what the fuck is this?
I'm gonna ask him if he's seen that.
Oh my God. It was like so funny. I'll show you like the listing online later. But it was just a good time. And then I got my drunken noodles hot. And I was like, they had like not spicy, medium, whatever, hot. And then they had Thai hot.
Yeah.
Which I'm sure is like melt your face off hot. So I was like, I had also gotten a papaya salad and I got that one like mild. So I was like, honestly, like even if my drunken noodles are super spicy, I'll be able to like balance it out with the papaya salad. I'm just going to do it.
Yeah.
I honestly, like, I was like, I don't know if she looked at me and said she does not want it hot, but it was not spicy.
Yeah. She might have.
My friend who also asked for same exact dish, except for, like, his had meat in it, but, like, he asked for drunken noodles hot, and he was, I thought he was gonna die. I was like, okay, she definitely just was like, she can't handle it, which I'm like, I actually do really well with spice, but okay.
Yeah.
Like, normally around here, I, especially, like, Thai spice, I can deal with, like, very well.
Yeah. Curries go all out.
Yeah. Like, I love a good fucking spicy vindaloo. Only once have I gotten my ass handed to me, and that was because I was like, I want it, like, extra spicy.
Yeah.
And they were like, are you sure? And I was like, no, like, I want the, like, the spiciest curry.
Yeah.
Like, I want authentic vindaloo, and vindaloo should be very spicy. Yeah, they fucking served me. I was, like, crying, sweating, red, and, like, they're like, how do you like it? I'm like, so good, so good. My nostrils have never been so clear in my life.
I love that. I love that.
But, oh, God,
oh, you're making curry sound so good right now. And curry always sounds good.
I haven't had, like, kebab and curry in so long. Some naan bread. Me neither. Maybe I'll ask Dylan, can you pick me up some... All right. Anyways, let's get into it.
Yeah, we've been chit-chatting for 16 minutes, but I don't know. I like when you, like, listen to a podcast and it sounds like you're just listening to two friends talk.
Yeah.
That, like, pleases me. And I don't understand people that are like, this is annoying. Go to a different podcast.
Right?
Go find one that reads a script. I don't know what to tell you. Or a podcast where the hosts don't get along and they only see each other. Never. But... yeah, let's get into this episode.
Yes, because, like, it's a good one. We want to spend some time with it. So,
and Skinner's very, it's like very Skinner forward.
Yeah.
So I was very happy.
Skinner's really funny in this episode, actually. Yeah. Everyone's, like, sass is on point.
Yeah.
So we start out, we are in Winston-Salem in North Carolina.
Right?
Yes. Okay. And Skinner is, like, locked in this couple's house with them, because he is essentially their security for the night. And at first we, like, don't know why, but it, through their conversations, becomes apparent that this man is testifying against some kind of, like, grand jury the next morning. And so Skinner has been assigned to keep them safe and keep watch.
Yeah, this guy's name is Dr. Scobie. Mr. Scobie, I don't know. Which just makes me think of kombucha.
Yeah, I know. That's why I just, like, have been calling him Jim, because that's his first name.
I just kept calling him Booty Boy, but that might get confusing. But yeah, so do we learn about the tobacco company now? No, right?
No, not yet. Okay. So this is the intro, and then the last thing that happens in the intro is just that the man starts coughing.
It's a gnarly fucking cough. Yeah, yeah, his wife goes to bed.
It's like a chest cough, you know?
Yeah, phlegmy.
Yeah, his wife goes to bed. She's, like, all freaked out. He starts fucking coughing. Skinner gives him a glass of water, and then before...
this is disgusting.
He goes to bed, we see that there is... blood in the water, like, he's coughed blood into the fucking glass,
and then we bug.
See a beetle,
a fucking bug,
a big ass beetle.
Oh, it's disgusting. It, like, really made me upset. But yeah, he has this rank ass fucking cough, and he is coughing so much that he, like, I guess doesn't even go to bed and just, like, goes into the bathroom. And I think the wife can tell that he's not in bed yet, like, you know, when that happens a little bit. So she goes to check on him in the bathroom, and she can't open the damn door. So Skinner comes in there to help be a big man and rescue her. And yeah, he's definitely dead. His face is not alive.
His face is half gone.
Yeah. And there are bugs fucking everywhere.
Yeah.
It is fucking disgusting. Like, legitimately, you can see half of his teeth.
Yeah.
And his, like, the inside basically, of his cheek. It is gnarly.
Yeah, basically, like, his nose down, I would say, is just, it's gone. Like, there's no skin on there.
It's been eaten away.
It's been eaten away, exactly. Yeah. So they're, like, freaked out. We find out as this is happening, that he was supposed to testify against Morley Cigarettes the next morning.
Dun, dun, dun.
So they get started. Skinner brings Scully and Mulder in and is basically like, this is a huge fucking deal. I've been tasked with this, and like, I hope I can trust you guys to, like, we need to work quickly on this. Yeah. It's urgent.
This is probably the most reasonable X-File that could have existed.
Yeah.
That they still would have been, like, down for. Like, there's hard evidence that something is happening. Right. There's literally a bug coming out of this man. There's bugs coming out of this man. And, like, everyone's seeing it. So I think Scully's, like, on it. And Mulder's like, this is weird enough that I'm on it. And Skinner's like, help me save my job.
Yeah. Please. He's like, I was supposed to take care of these people, and now he's dead. So, shit. Fuck me. You know?
Yep.
And this is where Mulder goes, can't blow the whistle with a mouth like that.
Oh my God.
Obviously, Scully has to do the autopsy.
Of course.
And then, as Mulder's walking around, he does note something that's kind of interesting, is that neither of the Scobies, Jim and Jean. Oh, yeah. Mulder's, like, noticing that there's no ashtrays. He's like, it's kind of weird, right? Like, a tobacco employee a cigarette employee that doesn't smoke?
Yeah. He did work in research and development. But yeah. Still.
It's the 90s and you work for a fucking cigarette corporation, yeah. You're probably going to smoke.
Yep.
So it's kind of weird that he doesn't. And then Mulder finds the beetle.
Yep.
And he brings that in as evidence.
Yeah, because Skinner is like he brings it to Skinner, right? And he's like, this is fucking wild. And Skinner's like, well, there is a doctor that we can talk to at Morley. So like, let's go try to talk to him. The secretary at this company is like not having their shit.
Nope.
Like they show him their FBI badges because he's asking if they have an appointment, and they just like kind of turn around a little bit and they're like, I don't think you registered what you're looking at. Like, it's fucking stupid. But what, the head of security comes down, he's like, it's totally fine. They don't need an appointment. They're just
What is more annoying than when you're like, I am following exactly what I'm supposed to at work, and I am not gonna budge on this. I am holding my ground. And then your boss comes over and is like, it's fine.
Yeah.
I hate that. That's the most annoying thing.
It's like, if it's the FBI.
Yeah, like, but also it's the FBI, right? I would be like, okay, remember what we talked about like not letting anyone in without an appointment? Does not apply with the FBI.
Yeah.
But it doesn't seem like any, I mean, this man is not, like, intimidated that they're FBI. He is like, come on in, because I'll show you. We have nothing to hide.
Yeah.
Like, he's only going up and saying, like, I'm ready for you, because he's prepared for this.
Right. So yeah, they're, like, brought to a conference room, almost. And Skinner and Mulder on one side, and then, like, everyone on the board is on the other side, and, like, they're lawyers.
Yeah.
And Skinner keeps asking questions because Dr. Voss is there. And I guess Dr. Voss and Scobie were friends for like 14 years, but they also worked together. And then Scobie ended up leaving.
Yeah.
And we don't know why. Like, no one knows why except for the people that work at Morley.
Right.
So he's like asking questions. And every fucking time the lawyer is like, I really don't suggest that he answer that.
Yeah.
It's incompetent. What?
He's giving lawyer answers.
Yeah.
He's just like, oh. No, sorry.
It's funny.
I don't recall.
Voss, like, I think wants to talk.
Yeah. Yeah, he definitely does. Like,
oh my God. Please shut up.
Yeah. I think he's having a little bit of a moral dilemma. He wants to help them. And also, like, someone that he worked with for many years is now dead.
Yeah.
So I'm sure that that's also weighing on him.
Yeah.
Mulder,
like, does... Oh, okay, yes. I remember the sass that Mulder brought to the table. Because Mulder's like, well, I have a question about this, and brings out the little bug.
Yeah.
And asks them what it is, and they do tell him that it's a tobacco beetle. They're everywhere. They're probably consuming your car.
Gross.
And then I think what the lawyer asks what that has anything to do with the case, and Mulder's like, that's in, what is the word I'm looking for? where it's not allowed.
Violation?
Yeah, that's in violation of the FBI, like, guidelines for an ongoing investigation. And I'm like, I love this.
Got him.
They're all so fucking sassy today. It, like, really pleases me. So from there, we...
Actually, also, did you mention that Voss also demoted
Jim
Scobie 5 weeks ago?
Yeah.
So, and that was one of the things that he wouldn't talk about. So I feel like that's also interesting.
Yeah. But we follow Voss home, right? This man has spinners on his fucking car.
Yeah.
Why? I don't know.
Because he's a doctor.
What even happens when he gets home?
He gets confronted by
Jigsaw. Yes.
AKA Mr. Weaver.
Yeah.
Who is, I don't think we really know the specifics of like why he's there or anything, but basically he's like, hey, I think you know that I had an agreement with Dr. Scobie, and so I'm here to make good on that deal. Do you have any smokes? Like,
yeah,
you got to keep me going.
Well, he's like, since he's dead, I'm just assuming you're taking over all of his
roles.
Like,
yeah.
And this man, like, is not thrilled.
Yeah. He's like, get the fuck away.
I don't think he's scared yet, but I think he definitely is like, you need to not be on my property, pretty please.
Yeah.
But he hands him like, what, 2 mega cartons of fucking cigarettes.
Yeah.
And then he just like goes back into the foggy shadows, like, very ominous.
Yep. And then we go to Scully, who's doing the autopsy, and she says that this man's lungs look like corned beef, which I don't think they're supposed to look like.
No, definitely not.
And it's interesting because even though he's not a smoker, his lungs look like someone who would have been smoking for 100
fucking
years.
Smoking in the womb, honestly.
Yeah, like, what the hell? And something has essentially, like, rotted away his lungs. Like, it's gross. And
that makes me so upset.
There's not really any, like, the only cause of death that Scully can find, though, is basically just, like, choking to death.
Yeah.
Then we go back to Mr. Weaver, Jigsaw, where his landlord is yelling at him for smoking. Then, as the landlord is complaining, he starts coughing up blood.
This man's walls are so stained with tobacco.
Yeah.
It is fucking disgusting. It's, oh my God. He's like, so I can smell it through the walls. Like, this is putrid. But yeah, and Jigsaw definitely like hears him fucking choking. Hearing the amount of coughing and like the phlegmy amounts of coughing gets very gross very quickly. Maybe if you don't have issues with that and like sounds or things, you'll be fine. But he like hears him basically dying. He's like, whatever, I'm just gonna keep watching my like,
not my business.
I'm gonna keep watching my World War II like black and white films,
right?
And continuing to smoke.
Yeah. So landlord is now being fucking eaten by
bugs,
and he's dead.
And then our little squad gets notified that another person has died in like the exact same way.
Yeah, and he goes to talk. Mulder goes to talk to Weaver.
Mm-hmm.
It's
not very productive.
It's not very productive at all. He basically is like, get the fuck out. I'm not talking to you.
I'll talk if there's reward money.
Yeah. And he's like, the FBI doesn't really do that. We just kind of expect that you're gonna
volunteer information,
you know, talk to us. And he's like, well, then no thank you.
My brain has all of a sudden lost every
He's like, can't recall at all. Sorry.
But this is when Scully says that she has, I know it's an entomologist, but I just put, she has a bug friend.
Buggy friend.
And she's gonna go bring Mulder's, because Mulder keeps collecting the bugs.
Yeah.
Which I think is a new hobby for him.
He likes them.
Yeah. But she's going to bring the bugs to her little bug friend to see what she thinks about what might be going on.
Yeah.
Because that's the only source of evidence that they have. or consistent evidence of something. Are these damn bugs? But like, how does this happen?
Right. And normally, like, tobacco bugs, they eat tobacco, so they're not harmful to, like,
they're humans, not maggots,
you know. So it's like, what's going on here that they're all of a sudden like mutated into this apparently flesh-eating fucking beetle?
They were hanging out with Luke, man.
Yeah.
Ew.
Ew.
Ew. Okay, I have an idea.
Okay.
Back, semi back to like the horror movies thing, but you can't connect to X-Files. Because I think in general for horror movies, it would be really fun to have like a collection where directors do their take on like a big horror movie. Like imagine if Jordan Peele did a Shining
adaptation. Holy shit.
But if like very big horror movie or sci-fi movie directors did like quintessential X-File episodes.
Yeah.
Like, can you imagine someone reimagining like Fluke Man? That'd be disgusting.
Ew, but it's like actually well budgeted and
yeah.
I don't think I could watch that. I don't know.
And like tombs. Like flushing them out to be like long movies.
Yeah.
Or decently. I think
it would
movies.
Be awesome, but like yeah. Oh god.
No one's gonna do that. Let's do that instead of remaking.
Yeah,
X-Files.
Sorry, actually guys, we're gonna be a little busy. We're going to be
producers.
Just producing a small indie film that yeah. is actually gonna be our claim to fame, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It'll be great. We need not A24. We need a new name.
Yeah.
We'll figure it out.
B25.
Okay. That's dumb. I love it.
Okay.
We're fine. It's great.
So after Mulder strikes out with Jigsaw, he goes to talk to Dr. Voss at his house, who like also gives him absolutely nothing. He's like, I don't have to talk to you. And he's like, okay, well, I just wanted you to know that someone else died.
Yeah.
And then Mulder gets pretty much nothing out of that interaction, but when he leaves, Brimley, the security guard, calls and is like, what did he want? And he's watching Dr. Voss's house. So he's like, what the fuck? Are you, like, you're following me? He's like, I'm protecting you. But it feels a lot like he was out there watching him, so that's weird.
Yeah. Well, he's like, I'm going to make this right because this is my fault yeah. anyways, right?
And he's like, we should come forward.
Yeah.
And then Brimley is like, no, I'm going to fix this. Where's Daryl Weaver? I need to talk to him. He's like, this is my mistake. I'll clean it up.
Yeah, because even Boss finds him, right? And he's like offering him, this is fucking stupid. He wants him to move away, basically, so they can semi-hide this under the rug. And they'll just go in circles. And he's like, here's all the money in my bank. It's $4,000.
Yeah, we're both like, I call bullshit.
Yeah. Like, maybe one bank that you have an account in, but there's no way. You were, like, head of a department of a large tobacco company, and that's all the money you have? He has, like, a huge, basically, like, plantation house.
I think he... So, like, here's the thing. I think everyone looks at Weaver, as like this dumb, uneducated person, and
definitely not.
I think he thought, I'll just throw him a fucking bone and he'll believe me. And $4,000 is more than this man could ever ask for, you know? Yeah. He'll be thankful that I gave it.
Yeah.
And
I think you're right.
And then it's like, oh.
He's literally like, this isn't a lot of money.
He takes it and he's like, well, it's not much, but thank you. And he's like, you need to leave town. And he's like, I don't think so.
Yeah, what does he say? He's like,
he goes,
I have a good situation going for me.
Yeah, yeah. He's like, and leave all this? I don't know. And then he's like, basically, Dr. Voss is getting like frantic. He's like, Morley is a multi-billion-dollar company and they will come after you. They will kill you. And he goes, seems like a problem for Daryl Weaver. Why? I can't. So that's hilarious. But also, the bug lady, my bug friend entomologist.
Who also kind of looks like Scully.
Yeah, I mean, every science babe, you know?
Yeah.
It's a whole team back there.
They all have red hair.
They're just different sections of science, you know?
It's the same word in different fonts.
Mm-hmm. She says that there is slight changes in the beetle from a typical tobacco beetle, and that she's like unsure why or how, but there's like changes in the antenna and whatever.
Yeah.
And then Scully is like, okay, well, what if they're genetically modified? And she's like, genetically modified beetles? And she's like, no, like, I think that they're doing transgenomic activities. I don't know. They're doing crazy shit. Like basically DNA alteration, which apparently is something that tobacco companies have been, they're saying like it's been known that tobacco companies have been doing that. So essentially Scully's theory, which I feel like is a good one.
It's not even a real word. I looked it up and it's like a company name.
Oh.
Oh, I mean, maybe that makes sense. It's a global biotechnology company advancing personalized medicine and cardiology, oncology, and blah, 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 blah. Through its proprietorship, but with a Y and not a ship. My brain doesn't want to do that. Molecular technologies and world-class clinical and research services. Ooh. Fun. This is the side of GMO that I'm like, no, thank you.
So, like, what Scully's theory is that they were trying to make, say, basically a super tobacco. They're saying a tobacco that, like, that you can alter the nicotine levels, that you can make it flavored naturally.
Yeah.
That you can alter how addictive it is, like, the whatever, flavors and burnability and whatever. So they've been, like, testing all of this stuff to make, like, a better crop of tobacco. But in that, they ended up also changing
the tobacco bugs
because they're eating this genetically modified tobacco.
Yeah.
So, I mean, makes sense to me. And honestly,
yeah,
like, I think the scariest part of this episode is even, like, 20 years later, I'm like, I could see big tobacco doing that, especially now. They're so fucking desperate.
I mean, that's, like, what Monsanto does with their soybeans.
Exactly. I mean, like, we already know that, like, crazy shit is happening with GMOs, and...
It was in one of my...
Oh, my God, wait.
...nutrition classes, and... I think, like, a small farmer had a farm, like, not next door to Monsanto.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. And then
the bee pollinated it, and they fucking sued him.
Yeah.
Like,
I know.
Yeah. So I don't think it's far-fetched at all for, like, I think big tobacco, yeah, you're right. It fucking would.
Yeah.
Anything to make them more money. And especially since, like, people don't really smoke
right,
it as much
anymore.
Right, I was
going to say, like, right now, like, they... are probably in a pretty desperate place where they're like, how do we get people, you know, how do we get people to smoke? How do we get people to, how do we get cigarettes to be more appealing? Well, if you could make a tobacco that you can say is like, obviously we know from how many people are vaping and whatever, that so many people would smoke if they felt like it smelled better, if it tasted better, if it was like not as bad for you, or at least if it wasn't known how bad it is, because now we're seeing how bad fucking vaping is for you. But even we have like those fucking aromatherapy bullshit vapes now. It's like,
oh my God.
People are still addicted to the act of smoking.
Yeah.
They just know that cigarettes are not the right choice anymore. And also they, like, you know, there are a lot of negatives aside from even health risks. Like, cigarettes are kind of gross. As someone who smokes cigarettes, like, cigarettes are pretty fucking gross.
Yeah.
So, like, I could totally see them being like, how do we come up with a better smelling, like, more appealing fucking cigarette?
Eco-friendly cig.
Yeah, right? I mean, of the people that I know, myself included, that still fucking smoke cigarettes, I think, like, 99% of them all smoke American Spirits. Why? Because you can fucking trick yourself into being like, I'm healthier, it's organic, blah, 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 whatever. So it's like, I could definitely see big tobacco doing this. But yeah. So that's kind of scary because of what happens in this case.
And literally in this scene, because what we're closing out with the bug lady, and we hear Mulder coughing, which is really upsetting.
Well, first, also, in when Scully does the second autopsy, they find fucking larva in this man's chest. Gross. So she's like, he is inhaling smoke, and that is causing fucking eggs to be hatched in his lungs.
Yep.
Nasty. The beetles are coming from inside the house. Like, yucky. Not good. I can't. And then Mulder starts fucking coughing up blood.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh my God, wrap it up. It's done. Ugh. We're over.
They take him to a hospital, obviously. And they're doing...
They're sucking.
Yeah, they're doing like a vacuuming procedure that what she said they do for asthma and something else. I don't remember what it is. But basically, they have this giant vacuum sucking tube where they're sucking out bugs and larvae out of his lung cavity. It's fucking disgusting.
Yep.
And like you can... Oh, it's so nasty. They're like floating in the tank that it like empties out into, and it's I hate it. It looked like tomato soup. I'm sorry.
It's so gross.
Yeah.
Tomato soup with fucking bugs in it.
Yeah.
But so he is like they're confident that they can at least buy him time while they figure out what to do.
Yep.
So he's being treated. Forget who finds while they're like doing this, I think Dr. Voss comes forward and is like, I don't want to fucking do this anymore. And like tells them.
Well, Skinner like semi-threatens them.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because he's like, okay.
He goes to him and he's like, okay, now it's serious because like my agent is in fucking trouble. So you're going to tell me what's going on.
And he didn't smoke anything.
Yeah. So like you're killing people. Yeah. Like
he like literally threatens the lawyer.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, I think Voss starts speaking
essentially
up.
Is like, yeah. I don't want
to the lawyer keep just doing walks this. Away.
Yeah, he's like, fuck this, man. What Dr. Voss tells him is that they were doing a trial with, you know, these genetically modified plants. And there was 4 people in the trial. 3 of them have died. And the last one, Weaver, somehow has some kind of immunity to it.
Yep.
Like, we're not sure how, but...
And that's what the lawsuit's about.
Mm-hmm.
Which makes a lot of fucking sense. Also, not a very big study group. At all.
Well, I mean, you know, you should probably start small, and then if 100% of your fucking study group dies, maybe it's time, you know, that's enough.
Yeah.
So, that's good. At least they didn't start with, like, 150 people and be like, here, let's just try this out. But yeah, so they're not sure why, for whatever reason, Weaver is fine. But they go to try to find Weaver.
They bust into his apartment.
They break into his apartment. And
he ain't there.
He is not there.
Someone else is there.
Brimley is...
tied up to a chair.
With a fucking rag in his mouth.
And there's blood on his face. And what?
Skinner undoes the... rag and immediately bugs everywhere. So gross.
It was just fucking disgusting. And he dies.
And he he dies. He is infested within like a minute because they've all just been like building up and they're so fucking gross. And then we see that Weaver stole his car and he doesn't get far because he goes to stop for beer,
yeah,
I think. And he like goes in there and the kid's like, you can't smoke in here. He just hands him a $100 bill and is like, now I can. which is unfortunate because little does this kid know he's probably going to fucking die over $100 now.
Hope it was worth it.
Yeah. So Mulder starts to like get a lot worse and they're trying to figure out how the fuck to fix it. And then they find that the reason that Weaver is okay is because he smokes so much, right?
Yeah.
Because
he was smoking 4 packs a day.
Yeah.
And basically, what? Because the nicotine was feeding the beetles, so they didn't have to feed off of him, something
like
that.
Nicotine, like, either suppresses their appetite or, like, kills them or something. Yeah. I don't know.
The nicotine was keeping him alive is the gist of it.
Right. And so then they start, obviously not giving Mulder cigarettes, but they start giving him, essentially, nicotine.
Yeah.
In order to stabilize him.
I was like, they just cover him in nicotine patches, but I don't think that... Does that do what I think it's gonna do?
It does... puts nicotine into your bloodstream, okay. So I would say, yeah.
Should have just done that from the start.
Mulder's just gonna start chewing fucking Zins all the time.
Ew.
The little, like, tobacco pouches.
Yeah, ew. Yeah, because what he has eggs and larvae in his lungs.
Sure does.
And they Scully's concerned that they're not gonna be able to get them all, which is a valid concern.
So I think that the nicotine actually does kill them, though.
Okay.
So that was kind of it, because otherwise he's going to have to be, like, I think the issue with Weaver is that he's, like, constantly, it's more, like, secondhand smoke that's killing people because they don't also get the nicotine to suppress it.
Right.
So I don't know. But so they're hoping that with the nicotine they'll be able to kill whatever eggs are left over, and then after that, he'll be okay.
Fingers crossed.
It pretty much ends with Mulder in the hospital and Scully being like, you're not going to start smoking, are you?
Which, well, like, I think they get back to work, right? Because he's like tip-tapping away. And he's like, well, I don't... I
thought the last line was, you're not going to start smoking, are you? No.
Well, it was because he...
But he's
he was like making a joke that it like gave him something else, like, instead of
I think he like picked up a pack of cigarettes or something for some reason. Yeah. So he's like,
because Scully was like, what the fuck? He's like, yeah, you know, gave me an addiction.
Yeah.
But I think they were,
he's like, it's worse than heroin. I'm like, oh my god.
Yeah, I think they were back at work, and then they were meeting Skinner for some meeting, probably like to close up
the amount of times that these people have like a near-death experience and then are back to work within like 12 hours is insane.
Yeah. It's not health.
No. Work-life balance, babies.
I know. God.
But yeah, so that's that. I loved this episode.
Yeah.
And do you have any fun stuff?
Let me...
Well, one thing I do want to say, which I feel like people brought up, is in the beginning of the episode, pretty much until Mulder goes into the hospital, the vibes between Scully and Mulder are, like, weird. Like, yeah. I don't know. Like, it's awkward. And someone, I was reading this Reddit thread, and someone was talking about how, like, this is right around the time that, like, things just, like, have started to get really tense with Jillian and David. So it's, like, not even... I don't know if this is the same time that Jillian was, like, pissed about her pay. But this is like, it's not a secret. Like, I feel like both Jillian and David have talked a lot about how, like, towards these seasons, they are so fucking sick of working with each other.
Yeah.
And like, I feel like it's not personal. Like, I don't think it has anything to do with like either of their own personalities, but it's literally just working like in a very intense job where you're away from your family for like long stretches of time for literally, like, they're shooting pretty much every day at this point, and they are always working with each other, so they're just fucking sick of seeing each other at this point. So I wonder if that was like intentional or if it was just like real life bleeding into the show, but it did feel like pretty awkward for a little bit there. Like, their tension was weird.
I mean, I think it also has to do with the fact, like, we've said this in the past few episodes, that they were doing their own like directorial episodes.
Right.
So yeah, I think they were purposely taking some time apart from each other. So that's why Scully was either like gone or in the autopsy bay, or Mulder was gone doing something. So really the main focus is Skinner.
Yeah.
And it lets him like run around. So I think that's at least playing into that a little bit. I don't have much, but because like Morley's cigarettes is a, it's not a real brand. We know this, but it's also like used in a ton of other shows. And apparently it's what Hank Moody smoked in Californication.
Oh.
Yeah. Cute little nod. And they used 3,000 tobacco beetles in this episode, which is disgusting.
Ew. Yeah. Real ones?
Yeah. Yeah, it says the scenes featuring shots of beetles crawling out of corpses were shot and filmed using real insects and real actors, which is fucking gross.
Hmm.
Like, they couldn't just have had, like, a few and then CGI multiply.
They didn't have the technology this is yet.
Well, they did a little bit with the first-person shooter and our little dominatrix baby.
Yeah.
But they're like, no, this one, we're going to make realistic. Make y'all suffer. That's
this is kind of interesting. So, like, when filming, the production designer created an overall yellow and brown color scheme for the episode, and each scene was given a smoky look on camera.
Yeah.
Just to kind of like have every scene have like kind of the ambiance, which is interesting. I think that's interesting. Like, I like the idea of kind of taking the theme and also applying it to like the overall set.
Yeah.
Which is cool.
It's a good, like, atmospheric detail to include. Because they didn't have to.
Right.
But it definitely makes, like, you can really see it in Jigsaw's apartment.
Oh, yeah.
And it's
definitely.
It's gross.
You feel, like, you start to feel gross watching that.
And,
you
like,
know?
Dirty.
It's nasty.
Yeah. No, I think that was a very smart choice on their part.
Yeah.
I wish they would do more things like that. But I know not everything is going to have an easy, like, color story like cigarettes do.
Yeah.
Do you have anything else?
No, that's really it.
So we're ready for next week?
Yeah.
We're going to be so excited.
Okay.
So season 7, episode 19 is Hollywood AD.
Ooh.
A screenwriter tags along with Mulder and Scully as they investigate a church bombing. The case becomes the plot of a Hollywood movie, but the agents find their case and themselves distorted on the big screen.
Oh, fun.
Yeah, we love this episode.
I'm excited.
Okay, so we we still have to get this down.
We forgot to do an outro again.
Yeah, like us on, or follow us on Instagram at UFO Party Pod. Give us some rating, some 5-star reviews on Apple Podcasts and Spotify and wherever you want to listen to us blabber. And get some merch, because our merch is cute.
And stay safe.
Stay spooky.
Bye.
Bye.